Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season 2 of Full PTSD. For those of you wondering where we went, I do apologize. I actually took on a new job, and I think Dr. J and I were both adjusting to life in this pandemic. Dr. J was also busy helping police officers and firefighters during this tumultuous summer. Season 2 is here though, and new episodes will be dropping from now until August, and season 3 will be airing in April of 2022. In today's episode, I sit down with Mike and Andrea Stein, who actually came from out of state to meet with Jana and get help. Mike was in the Air Force and was stationed in Korea, and that's where his journey begins. Before we get into that though, be sure to like us on Facebook at @whole_PTSD, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. As a special thanks to you all for being faithful listeners, tomorrow we're dropping another episode. In this episode, I sit down with Dr. J and Felicia Jensen, who you might remember from season 1, and we discuss life as a kid of a first responder. The pandemic, as many of you know, it's changed our reality quite a bit. It's also changed how we've recorded this podcast. We're now recording over Zoom. It allows Jana and I to free up our schedules a little bit and do these more often, but it also allows us to talk to people like Mike and Andrea who are from out of state. So, you might hear a chime or a weird interruption or a weird glitch due to the technology we're using. Thank you for always being patient and faithful listeners. This is Whole PTSD with Chandler Marquez and Dr. Jana Price Sharps.
What all prompted it was going to Korea. When I went to Korea, it was a you couldn't take your family. It was an isolated tour. So that was kind of difficult being away from your family in the first place. And I had one daughter at the time, and I had a very close bond with her, and I didn't want to be away. But when I got to Korea, it seemed that the environment was more drinking, prostitution, more so than focus on why we were in Korea. And I didn't want to participate with the drinking and the prostitution. It started out with, oh, now that you're here in country, we're going to give you a green bean tour and get you drunk and get you laid. And I didn't want to do that. And that kind of caused some hostility with my squadron and the people in the squadron. They viewed me as a threat and made threats toward me, which eventually led up to a point where I was sexually assaulted and then threatened my life if I said anything to anybody. It was, you're going to join in whether you like it or not. And if you if you won't do it willingly, we'll force it on you, is what happened. And they took pictures and pretty much said, if you say anything to anybody, then we'll send these pictures to your wife. And I felt like I wasn't going to leave Korea alive. And so I had to carry that burden. I didn't know who was involved. I did have an order from the commander that said, I am to go downtown and relieve myself, that I was the problem in the squadron. And I refused the order, which then he threatened to court-martial me. And I threw it back at him and said, well, if you want to court-martial me, go ahead. I think they'd like to hear that back in the States. And never pursued it. But then shortly thereafter, that's when the attack happened. So I didn't know if security police was involved, commander was involved, or who was involved. But I'd sent a bunch of paperwork and notes and things back to my mom in case I didn't come back. But I wasn't certain that I would even leave Korea alive. Once I left Korea, I went back to the States and I put my life back together best as I could with the wife that I had at the time and the daughter that I had. But it was still there. and I buried it and never mentioned anything to anybody about it. And then that marriage broke up and I remarried later. She didn't know anything about it. But I would have problems and things would crop up and I'd blow them off as other excuses. I ended up being discharged from the military as passive aggressive personality disorder. And I didn't feel that I fit that profile. And I wanted help. I was put into the Air Force's loony bin for 3 months and then discharged. Afterward of getting out of the Air Force, I thought, well, maybe I can get help now. Maybe I can fight this. And it took until a couple of years ago before I made any progress and actually started getting help for PTSD. Most of the other times it was just treatment for passive aggressive personalities disorder. Oh, you were born with this. This is your problem. Air Force has nothing to do with it.
Mike's journey continues on to the VA. There, he ran into mental health professionals that he felt were more into themselves than him. His wife, Andrea, was never allowed into the sessions. An important part to this story, as you'll soon hear, is that Mike and Andrea helped each other through this journey. The two going to sessions together was something they felt was going to be essential for their process. The couple found each other later in life, and their previous relationships gave them insight as to how they wanted to handle their current situation. They met Dr. J through Mike's brother, and the two went on to tell me about the rest of their story. So Mike and Andrea, what was the turning point, Mike, for you starting to get better, you starting to realize that you were making progress? How did the two of you guys kind of make that work, and where did it start to go positive?
I think one of the biggest things that I found was how much negative talk that I had, and turning that around really helped. And then opening up to my wife and letting her know, even though she was not involved in what happened, letting her know took a big load off of me. Meeting with Jana and positive feel about that connection compared to anything before. And then finally having things that I can work with. I got a lot of podcasts and books that I read through. I was having a big problem with sleep. So cooling off and being able to sleep was really a good thing. And then being able to understand what was going on with my body was another big item. Sure. Because I could sense what was happening and then be able to work that and deal with that.
Andrea, you knowing what Mike's going through in a little bit more depth now, how does that help you as his wife?
Well, it helps me understand why he does or says some of the things that he was saying. Before, you know, if he went off on a tangent about something or whatever, I would instantly just get mad. And it, you know, it was almost like he was attacking me. But now, for most of the time, you know, 99% of the time, now I can differentiate that. I might get mad instantly still, but I can take a step back now and analyze it a little bit. And so, okay, well, he's having a moment here and really doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that's been pretty common when I talk to couples on the podcast is, you know, whoever is the spouse of the first responder always kind of, at first when they don't realize what's going on, takes it real personal. Mm-hmm. I think it's a personal attack. Mike, you hearing that from Andrea, how does that change your approach when trying to communicate with her?
I'll use an example. One of the biggest things would blow me up is her phone. I'm more of a give me it now, and I'm thinking smartphone. And so when I'm like driving and I want directions, I want it now, not after I pass the intersection. Right. So I would get upset and frustrated, and she would take it personally that I'm mad at her. And I know it's not you, it's your stupid phone, your stupid smartphone or whatever. So trying to turn it and direct it that it's not about you, it's about what's going on, or me dealing with what's going on was one of the things.
If you don't mind sharing with me and with the listeners, what was one of the lower points of your guys' relationship through this whole journey of PTSD?
I really can't think of a low point. My wife's been very supportive of what's been going on. And I think opening up to her and her understanding what's been going on in the past, she didn't realize. And now that she does, it makes a lot easier and better for both of us. If you don't know what a person's going through, you take it personally, and you're being attacked personally as far as how you look at it. When I first told her about what I've been through, my expectation was she's going to pack her bags and leave, but she didn't. And that was a big, big help or plus right there. A lot of people don't realize that what each person goes through individually in a relationship affects both. So even though I had an issue, it's not just my issue in a relationship. And even the same thing with her. If she has an issue or what's going on, she can look at how she reacts with me differently because her approach toward me. Just because you have PTSD or something else going on doesn't mean that you're not a good person or can have a good relationship. It just means that you have something to deal with and work around. And relationships take work.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrea, when Mike first tells you and opens up, what's your initial reaction? How do you process all that?
Well, when he first told me what actually happened, the whole story, I was kind of shocked. My very first reaction was I was angry at the people that did that, and the military. And it was, and then I felt sympathy for him, of course. You know, it's like, you know, God, I'm sorry that happened to you. But it made me much more aware of what he has been going through and why he is the way he is. You know, he told me early on a little bit about what had happened to him and stuff. So at the time, I never really thought of it as being PTSD and stuff. But when he told me about the a little bit of it and stuff, it was like, okay, well, you know, maybe that's probably why he is the way he is. And
what's the importance of you two going through this journey together? How has it helped you, Mike, having someone to kind of be there with you to get better, to make progress? What would it look like without Andrea?
For me, it gives more of a feeling of support and that I'm understood as what's going on. I think that also there's things that she's gotten from it for her personally. So even if you don't have something going on, PTSD or whatever, there's a lot that can be gleaned from what Jana teaches. I think that it's changed both of us for the better. I mentioned about the negative self-talk. She had the same thing. So that was something that she could work on. And the fact that there's things that helps both of us as just people that are involved in this, it gives us the opportunity to work on that together. And so she like nudges me in the side and says, hey, you need to do this or you should do this. And then I'll do the same thing back to her that, well, you know, so it kind of is a good thing that it can help both of us.
It does. It's helped me tremendously with my own personal journey in life. You know, not taking everything that somebody says as a negative or a slam against me, or it's helped me with the things that he does, you know, it's, I can let it go now. You know, if something, if he says or does something that irritates me or whatever, and not necessarily having anything to do with his issues, it's just, you know, life between couples. I've learned now that it's okay to just let it go, that I don't have to continue on about it and dwell on it and stuff. Whereas before in my, in, you know, previous relationships and stuff, sometimes it would just sit there and fester and until I blew up, which I think is probably normal for a lot of people. A lot of people are like that, but it has helped us both so that we don't wind up having those resentments that a lot of people will get, you know, as you remember something, oh, well, he did this or she did that.
She'll go through my DBT cards or CBT cards and pick out something and, oh, well, this one's kind of cool, and go through it. And so there's things that she gets out of it. The fact that we're both going through this together, whether we want to or not, it's a lot easier when you do it openly and realize, oh yes, it's something that we both need to do together. There's a lot that I got from Jana about the cooling off and the sleep, things like that. And she's gotten the same thing. She'll have different things. It might not be a PTSD issue, but she can apply those same tools for other things. So it's actually, I think, brought us closer. Like I wanted to be able to some way get a message out that you got into a relationship with somebody because you love them, you care, they're important to you. So would it not be just as important to fix this as it would be to fix a broken arm or leg or go through an operation or anything else? It doesn't mean that this is the end for somebody. Oh my gosh, this is terminal. I can't be part of this, because it can change and it can get better. And it may never go away, but how you deal with it is the important thing. Being able to recognize the triggers. Why did I have a nightmare last night? Be able to work through it and to change it, make it different.
And I can recognize some of his triggers too. So if I can recognize it and not, you know, not wanting him to be upset, you know, rightfully so, then I can maybe steer him away or make him aware of, oh, you know, this is going to trigger you. Think sure. About what you're saying or doing, so I can help him, you know, maybe calm down before it escalates too high.
She'll ask questions like, are you okay with being here or doing this? And I'll say yes or no. And I'll be honest about the way that I'm feeling. And then she's okay about, all right, let's end this and go somewhere else. One of the problems that I have is being around crowds and places. When we were down in Fresno, we went to a swap meet, and I forced myself to go. And one of them that we went to, I felt really uncomfortable, and she could sense it. So she's, do you want to leave? And we did. Another one that we went to, it was more family and kids, and I didn't feel so triggered and felt more comfortable. At times you have to face your fears and push your limits, but there's times that you're not ready to deal with it and you have to back off. And her being aware of what's going on with me and the looks on my face or mannerisms and things, it really helps. The fact that she can be understanding, okay, maybe this isn't such a good idea, let's do something different, it's a good thing.
Mike and Andrea, I can tell you guys are in a positive place and heading towards a more positive place. To give our listeners who are maybe struggling out there right now, to give them a little hope, what's life look like for you both right now? Can you share that with the listeners?
Well,
go ahead.
I don't think that life is always perfect, but what you do with it, you can make it better. If you're in a relationship, it takes two. And so if you're both working together for the same goal, then, you know, that's what you need to do. I think that life can be good, and if it's not good, then you need to change it, make it better. So, no, it's surrounding yourself with the positive things and things that bring you joy or happiness is a good thing. It really helps, because then you're not so focused on the negative. And I'll quit rattling.
Not rattling at all, Mike. Andrea, do you want to add on to that? Do you think Mike covered that?
Yeah, he I think life for us looks great. You know, we're at a really great place, and it's just getting better and better all the time for us, because, you know, as time goes along and he's learns more and more how to deal with his issues, it makes me happier. I've never been happier in my life. And knowing that he wants to work at making our life better, you know, partly because of letting his feelings out and dealing with the PTSD and the issues that has plagued him for many years. It makes me very happy to know that he wants to work on that to make our life better together. You know, it's a two-way street. I mean, I want to work and make our life better together as well, but with his issues and stuff, it just has made me happier. So me being happier and not being negative towards the things that he feels and stuff, it just makes our whole relationship better.
And it's really hard to put all of that in words. I mean, if your relationship is important, then it's just going to take both of you to work on it. It's that simple.
Okay, Mike and Andrea, one last question before I let anybody on the show go. I always ask the same question every episode. Mike, we'll start with you. What's the best advice you could give to someone who's going through the thick of PTSD right now?
Stay positive. Change that talk to the positive talk. Get good sleep and enlist the support of your spouse, because it does help, or significant other.
And Andrea, what's the best advice you could give to the spouse of a first responder who's going through the thick of PTSD right now?
Just remember that it's not necessarily you that his or hers problem is focused at. It, you know, just remember that it's not necessarily you that is the issue or the problem. You take a step back and look at it and see, okay, this is an issue that we can work on. He's not necessarily mad at me. Just don't take it so personally all the time. And just be there and try to recognize some of the things. And if you know that going to a certain function or a whatever is a real issue for them, don't push it. You know, you can always go with a friend or something or whatever. You know, just remember that if you love them enough, not that you love them enough, that's not the right words, but
be there for them.
Just be there for them. If you love them, be there for them. And just remember to not take everything as a personal attack on yourself.
Mike and Andrea, you just kicked off season two for us. This is going to be episode one of season two. So thank you so much. It really is an honor to tell your story. And thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Jada Price-Sharps, good to be across from you again, this time over a screen.
I know. It's good to be back.
Dr. J, we sat down with Mike Stein and his wife, Andrea. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Mike and Andrea?
You know, one of the things that I think is their biggest strength is that she went through the process with him. And it is so important when people are dealing with PTSD that their spouses get involved in treatment, because a lot of times adrenaline, as we've talked about many, many times on this show, drives behavior, and usually it drives angry behavior or isolating behavior or irritability. And spouses and kids as well begin to take that very personally, you know, like, well, I guess dad doesn't love me, or I guess my husband doesn't love me, or, you know, I guess he's mad at me or she's mad at me, depending on who you're talking about. And so helping them to begin to understand, oh, that's why he does that. Okay, I got it. And even maybe not more importantly, but as importantly, she can say, okay, when he's being triggered, these are the things that I can do that will help him and also keep us from getting into an argument, you know. And so I think it's really important that family component of treatment that is often ignored by a lot of people. Either the family goes into family treatment and they try to do it with one therapist, and which I'm not a big fan of. And the reason I'm not a big fan of it is when somebody has PTSD, then everybody in the family has concerns, irritation, anger about, you know, some of the fallout from that. And it's very difficult to discuss that with everybody in the same room. You know, and so, which is why I do what I do and the way I do it, you know. And so I think when the family gets involved and they can kind of go through their own processing of what happened, and also how is it affecting the relationship and how can I help? And also, obviously, the person that has PTSD, how can that person help, you know, and say, okay, I can tell I'm getting triggered. So I'm going to go take a walk and cool down. And then can we talk about it? You didn't do anything. This is just, I'm just being triggered, you know? And so it opens up that communication, and they were just fabulous people. They did such a good job at that. And, you know, I have people do kind of weird things. You know, I have them create a box that they can put stressful things in and lock that box, you know, little things that, you know, at first glance, people go, why is she having us do that? But when they do it and it starts to work, you know, and both of them are really good about doing all the things we asked them to do. And you know what, that works really, really well.
You know, Mike, one of the things that struck me about his story was that he went through, you know, such a traumatic experience, obviously, as PTSD, meets Andrea and then doesn't tell her about it for a very long time. Kind of reminded me of Josh Campbell from season one. What's the importance of sharing this sort of traumatic experience or experiences with your significant other? And by holding it back, how are you negatively impacting yourself?
That's a great question, Chandler. You know, part of the problem is if your spouse doesn't know what's going on, then all the rage that typically comes from PTSD, there's an assumption that it's aimed at you, the spouse, you know, rather than no, he's being triggered by his environment. And this is something that he just needs to cool his system down. So when they don't know what's going on, they're trying to figure it out with no information. And that always leads to misinterpretations, always, you know. And so the more and I'm not saying people have to share every single gruesome instance, you know, with their spouse. You don't have to, you know, I know a lot of first responders are like, I'm not telling my spouse that. I get that, but at least tell your spouse that you have a bad call or a bad situation that you're still kind of processing through and your brain is really having a problem with it, which is why you're soaking the bed every night with sweat and you're, you know, sleeping 2 hours and you're setting the alarm for 2:30 in the morning so you don't have nightmares and doing all these seemingly random things that your spouse is wondering, what in the world are you doing? And, you know, without any information. So the more you can say, hey, this is what's going on with me. I have a plan. I'm working through it. But when I get irritable and I take a walk, it's because I'm cooling my system down. And 9 times out of 10 has nothing to do with you. You know, open up that communication.
Yeah, communication's key, obviously. You know, Andrea talks about not being able to go to sessions with Mike when he was doing sessions at the VA, and how that was negatively impacting them. What's your theory on that? I know that, you know, sometimes the couples come in together, sometimes they do separately. Can you explain that a little bit?
So at the VA, I think the issue, and I don't know, but I think the issue is they can only provide services to veterans, period. And so I think they almost have their hands tied. But I would encourage anybody that's treating first responders that you make sure that significant other also has some services and can do some things for themselves. That helps them heal as well. But it's very common that people that are treating, you know, whoever for PTSD, they don't include that family. And I think without that inclusion, you know, you get a little bit better in therapy, but then you go home to family, you know? And so if you're not including everybody in that process, it's a real problem, in my opinion.
You know, Mike and Andrea, I mentioned to them, you guys seem really happy. I know, you know, everyone's constantly working on things, but you guys seem like you really love each other and understand each other. I imagine it took them a while to maybe get to where they are today. Mm-hmm. How long does this process take for couples? You know, if they're starting from ground zero, what can they expect? And how long can they be on this journey until it starts to seem a little more positive?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, if they do it in such a way where both of them have support, but they're also meeting, you know, all, you know, the two therapists and the couple are meeting on a regular basis, it can happen fairly quickly. You know, I know everybody's probably sick of me talking about that, but I tell you what, you put that 5-to-1 rule of Gottman into place and you can have a better marriage in about a month. You know, it is amazing. If you want a good marriage, be nice. I mean, that is like at the bottom ground floor of building a healthy marriage. And unfortunately, a lot of times by the time people come in, they've said so many hurtful, terrible things to each other that they've broken that trust. And so it takes a while to rebuild that. But boy, I tell you what, if the sooner you put that 5-to-1 rule in, I love you, how was your day? You text a heart, just text a heart, you know, those little things rebuild that marriage. And it can happen very quickly. If you can get, you know, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, my rules for a good marriage: be nice, don't call names, never, ever, ever put hands on, quit being passive aggressive. And if you can't say anything nice, be quiet until you can, you know, take that walk and figure out how you're going to approach your significant other. And if you live by those 5 rules, you will probably have a very good marriage. And if both people are doing it, they're going to have a healthy marriage.
Hmm. Awesome. Hmm. Well, Dr. Price Sharps, always a pleasure. Why don't you give, where can people reach you at? What do social media, website? I don't know if there's a phone number.
Yeah. You know, the easiest way to get a hold of me is my email or social media. I am on Facebook and I am on Instagram. My email is J, as in my first name, Jana, Cop, as in law enforcement, Doc, as in doctors. So jcopdoc@AOL. Yes, I know it's AOL, but I have about 10,000 people that have my damned email, so I'm not changing it anytime soon. So that's another way. You can also get me on Facebook and on Instagram as well. So
great. Yeah, if you want to reach Jana on social media, she has a lot of great posts. Go to our social media webpage, @whole_PTSD. We tag her in a lot of the posts, and we'll be sure to find her. Jana, thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.